Would you please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. There is more to Christmas than sentimental goodwill. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this statement in your word. So many times the world twists it to be something other than what you have said. Help us today to understand what you have said and what you meant by what you said and how that might apply to our lives. I ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Charles Dickens' classic, A Christmas Carol, is the story of a Scrooge turned into a benefactor. Scrooge is a miserly person, one who hoards and refuses to share. He's a selfish person. Then he experiences quite a transformation and becomes a benefactor. A benefactor is a person who provides benefits to others, one who gives gifts to another because he wants to. Now, this fits nicely into the popular opinion about Christmas, but it is very sentimental. Sentimentalism is marked by a feeling or emotional idealism. Sentimentalism results from feeling rather than reason or thought. This sentimental approach to Christmas is even backed up by a Bible verse, Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. Goodwill toward men. Let's look at that word, goodwill. Sometimes I refer you to Strong's Concordance, and you know in Strong's Concordance, words in the Bible are related to numbers. Now, I'm going to give you the number. I want you to hold on to the number because I'll use it again in a bit. The number is 2107. Got that? 2107. If you would look up goodwill in Strong's Concordance, you will find that those two words together have one Strong's number, 2107. It is not a will that is good. It is a goodwill. Goodwill, according to the Bible, is something someone is pleased to do. Not for his own benefit, but for the benefit of others. Would you go to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, if you would look up good pleasure, you will find the Strong's number is 2107. Same as goodwill. Same thing. Good pleasure, goodwill. And 2 Thessalonians 1:11, you'll find the same thing there, the term good pleasure. Same Strong's number. Good pleasure, goodwill. Something someone is pleased to do. Go to Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. Romans chapter 10, verse 1, Paul said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved." Now, in this case, desire is 2107. The good pleasure, the goodwill of Paul's heart was to desire to take the people's curse upon himself. Chapter 9 and verse 3. For I wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. This in spite of the fact that his brethren, his kinsmen, had, according to the flesh, constantly persecuted him everywhere he went. Acts chapter 13 and verse 50 says, the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas. Then in Acts chapter 14 and verse 2, the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 5, and when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 19, there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Acts chapter 17 and verse 5, the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of a baser sort and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. Can you imagine? Over and over and over again, these people persecuted Paul and his companions, and yet he is saying he would be willing to go to hell if they all would believe in Jesus. Can you imagine a heart like that? Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Have you heard some people like to read this differently? Among men of goodwill. Have you ever heard that one? Instead of goodwill toward men, they read it among men of goodwill. I want to tell you, you cannot justifiably get that out of the text. Now notice in the verse there are three prepositions: in, on, and toward. There's a pattern in the verse. So you have glory to God in the highest, you have peace on earth, and you have goodwill toward men. There's just no way you can get men of goodwill out of the text. The goodwill does not come from men. The goodwill is directed toward men. Just like glory is in the highest and peace is on earth, the goodwill is toward men. Now, there's a difference between God's goodwill and God's will. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5, we were there before, but I want you to see it again, for we see the distinction between the two things here in this verse. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure. That's his goodwill, Strong's number 2107, that's the word, the good pleasure of his will. So you have goodwill and you have will. Now, God's will is what he wants for us. One of the things, of course, that he wants for all mankind is that they be saved, according to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 19. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everyone who is a believer to be sanctified, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. God wants you to be sanctified. And God wants everyone to be thankful. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There are things that God wants for you, but God's goodwill is what he wants to do for you. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his goodwill or good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. God's will toward men is something he purposed in himself. And it's something he determined to do, his goodwill. He wants something for you, and he determined to do something for you so that you could have what he wants you to have. Verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So God determined to give us an amazing inheritance. He determined to make that inheritance available through the redemptive work of his Son. He determined to give us the inheritance in exchange for us just simply trusting in Christ. And he determined to guarantee that inheritance by giving us his Holy Spirit as the down payment. Those are the things he did for us so that we could have what he wants for us. Why did he determine to do all of this? Verse 9 refers to it as the mystery of his will. Can we truly understand why God would want so many wonderful things for we puny creatures who have rejected him, defied him, sinned against him? Doesn't make sense, does it? It's odd that he would love us, such unlovely creatures, so very much. But it was his goodwill that led him to do it. So that in Luke chapter 2 and verse 14, in the highest there is glory to God, on earth God extends peace, and toward men he expresses his benevolent attitude of goodwill because he wants something for all mankind. So what is the substance of God's goodwill toward men? What did he do? Luke chapter 2, verse 9. Luke chapter 2, verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now God had established his purpose for his son before he started creation. We've talked about this. You can see it in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. The plan was always there. And we are given insight into something that happened before Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Before Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, God decided, according to his goodwill, what he would do for us. He planned creation, knowing full well that while he made this little planet in the midst of a vast universe as the focal point of the universe, where he would place a tiny creature called mankind, he knew full well that mankind would sin against him. He knew that he would have to judge that sin. But according to his goodwill, God did not want mankind to perish. And so, according to his goodwill, he determined to do something remarkable. To send his very son to provide redemption for mankind. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Why would God love such people? And yet, after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. So that not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 12, the angels said to the shepherds, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. To be the Savior, the Son had to become a man. It's called the incarnation. Carnal. Flesh. Incarnate. Into flesh. Incarnation, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, being placed into human flesh. It was a miracle. It's an amazing miracle. The eternal Son of God, who is everywhere present and fills the universe, confined to a tiny little body. But it was necessary. Would you go to Hebrews chapter 2? In verse 10, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. All of one, in other words, he became man. Verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing of thee. Again, verse 13, I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. That was the goodwill toward men. That the eternal Son of God would take on human flesh and do whatever was necessary in order to bring us back to glory. So in 1 Peter 2 and verse 14, his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree. And this is the goodwill God expressed toward men, Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. Psalm 86 and verse 15 says, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion. Compassion is a sensation of sorrow excited by the distress of the misfortunes of others. God saw the distress of mankind because of sin. And the interesting thing, he is, because of sin, he is both angry and sorry. What a mixture of emotions in the heart of God. Sin makes him angry because it's all opposed to him. And yet he has the sensation of compassion. He is sorry for us and pities us. So that while his divine anger compels him to judge sin, his good will prevails in his heart so that he would send his son so that he could judge sin in his son for all mankind. That's God's goodwill toward man. The shepherds understood, Luke chapter 2 and verse 15. It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They had no doubt that it was true. They heard what the angel said. They absolutely believed it. And they actually found it to be, just as the angels had said in verse 16. They found the babe lying in a manger. There he is. And they gladly witnessed about what they had learned. Verse 17, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And then they rejoiced greatly in verse 20. Glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. So the angels sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men, because in the birth of Christ, the gift of God's Son to the world, God expressed his goodwill toward men. God says, there's something I want you to know, and there is something I want you to have. My desire for you is not derived out of some sentimental emotion, but my desire for you is a response to a real need. For without the sun, you have no hope. If there is a Christmas spirit, perhaps it's something like this. We must see people's real need and be instruments in God's hand to give them the real solution for their real need. The solution that God has provided for them out of the goodwill of his heart. We must tell them that God wants something wonderful for them. But more than that, God did something wonderful for them so that you could have what he wants you to have. Yes, he has a will, and we're grateful for the things he wants for us. But let's be grateful for his goodwill, which drives his heart to be merciful, to grant us the privilege of having salvation. To do whatever needed to be done in order for us to have those things. Goodwill toward men. The birth of Christ is the beginning of that goodwill. And all that Christ did for us while he was here on earth is the fulfillment of that goodwill. When we read that verse from now on, may we have an entirely different appreciation for what it means. And let's indeed be thankful for the goodwill of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that not only do you want us to have something, you did whatever needed to be done to provide it. Thank you. Lord, there are lots of people that still need to hear this message. Perhaps this is a moment, a time of year in which we can share this. People hear those words, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Give us opportunities to say to folks, do you know what that really means? What an opportunity. Use us to share with many the goodwill of your heart. And thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.